André Vernet, president of the Paris branch of the Depository Bank of Zurich, lived in a lavish flat above the bank. He had been awake only 6.5 minutes, but even so, as he hurried through the bank's underground corridor, he looked as if his personal tailor and hairdresser had polished him to a fine sheen. The arrival of a gold key client always required an extra flurry of attention. But the arrival of a gold key client who was wanted by the judicial police would be an extremely delicate matter.
5 minutes, Vernet told himself. I need these people out of my bank before the police arrive.
Stopping at the doorway, he took a deep breath. Then, forcing a balmy smile, he unlocked the door and swirled into the room.
My grandfather gave it to me, Sophie said.
Really? Your grandfather gave you the key but failed to give you the account number?
I don't think he had time, Sophie said. He was murdered tonight.
Her words sent the man staggering backwards.
Jacques Saunier is dead?
He demanded, his eyes filling with horror.
But how?
You knew my grandfather?
Jacques and I were dear friends. When did this happen?
Earlier this evening, inside the Louvre.
Vernet walked to a deep leather chair and sank into it.
I need to ask you both a very important question. Did either of you have anything to do with his death?
No, Sophie declared. Absolutely not.
Vernet's face was grim, and he paused, pondering.
Your pictures are being circulated by Interpol. You're wanted for a murder.
Sophie slumped.
Fash ran an Interpol broadcast already?
She quickly told Vernet who Langdon was and everything that had happened inside the Louvre tonight. Sophie laid the gold key on the coffee table in front of Vernet, placing the Priory seal face down. Vernet glanced at the key but made no move to touch it.
He left you only this key? Nothing else? No slip of paper?
No, just the key.
Vernet gave a helpless sigh.
I'm afraid every key is electronically paired with a 10-digit account number that functions as a password. Without that number, your key is worthless. Account numbers are known only to the client and computer.
Vernet's cell phone rang.
Oui?
He listened a moment, his expression one of surprise and growing concern.
La police? Si rapidement?
He cursed, gave some quick directions in French, and said he would be up to the lobby in a minute. Hanging up the phone, he turned back to Sophie.
The police have responded more quickly than usual. They are arriving as we speak.
Sophie had no intention of leaving empty-handed.
Tell them we came and went already. If they want to search the bank, demand a search warrant. That will take them time.
Listen, Vernet said. Jacques was a friend, and my bank does not need this kind of press, so for those two reasons, I have no intention of allowing this arrest to be made on my premises. Give me a minute, and I will see what I can do to help you leave the bank undetected.
He stood up and hurried for the door.
But the safe deposit box, Sophie declared. We can't just leave.
There's nothing I can do, Vernet said, hurrying out the door.
Langdon stood suddenly, and Sophie sensed an unexpected glimmer of contentment in his eyes.
Robert? You're smiling.
Your grandfather was a genius.
I'm sorry?
10 digits? Sophie had no idea what he was talking about. The account number, he said. I'm pretty sure he left it for us after all.
Where?
On the floor of the Louvre. It's the Fibonacci sequence.
10 digits,
Sophie said as she made sure and counted the numbers on her fingers as she ticked them off.
1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 1, 3, 2, 1. Yes, that's 10.
They went to the electronic podium near the conveyor belt. The podium had a keypad similar to a bank ATM terminal. Beside the keypad was a triangular hole. Sophie wasted no time inserting the shaft of her key into the hole. The screen refreshed instantly and asked for the account number. 10 digits. Sophie typed the sequence and pressed enter. Sophie and Langdon exhaled in relief when the conveyor belt began to move and quickly brought a huge plastic box into the room. The box coasted to a stop directly in front of them. Wasting no time, Sophie opened the box and peered down. A lone item sat at the bottom. It was a polished wooden box about the size of a shoebox and had ornate hinges. The wood was a lustrous, deep purple with a strong grain. Rosewood, Sophie realized, her grandfather's favorite. The lid bore a beautiful inlaid design of a rose. She and Langdon exchanged puzzled looks. Sophie leaned in and grabbed the box, lifting it out.
My God, it's heavy.
She carried it gingerly to a large receiving table and set it down. Langdon stood beside her, both of them staring at the small treasure chest her grandfather apparently had sent them to retrieve. Langdon stared in wonderment at the lid's hand-carved inlay, a five-petal rose. He had seen this type of rose many times.
The five-petal rose, he whispered, is a priory symbol for the Holy Grail.
Sophie turned and looked at him.
It's a perfect size, she whispered, to hold a chalice.
Sophie pulled the box toward her across the table, preparing to open it. As she moved it, though, something unexpected happened. The box let out an odd gurgling sound. Langdon did a double take.
There's liquid inside?
Sophie looked equally confused.
Did you just hear?
Langdon nodded, lost.
Liquid?
Reaching forward, Sophie slowly unhooked the clasp and raised the lid. The object inside was unlike anything Langdon had ever seen. One thing was immediately clear to both of them, however. This was definitely not the cup of Christ.
The police are blocking the street,
André Vernet said, walking into the room. As he closed the door behind him, Vernet saw the heavy-duty plastic case on the conveyor belt. Sophie and Langdon were at the coffee table, huddling over what looked to be a large wooden jewelry box. Sophie immediately closed the lid and looked up.
We had the account number after all, she said.
Vernet respectfully diverted his eyes from the box.
Miss Neveu, if I can get you safely out of the bank, will you be taking the item with you or returning it to the vault before you leave?
We need to take it, Sophie said.
Vernet nodded.
Very well. Then I suggest you wrap it in your jacket as we move through the hallways. I would prefer nobody else see it.
As Langdon shed his jacket, Vernet hurried over to the conveyor belt, closed the now empty crate, and typed a series of simple commands. The belt began moving again, carrying the plastic container back down to the vault. Pulling the gold key from the podium, he handed it to Sophie.
This way, please. Hurry.